I just also want to take the moment to welcome every person here today. You know, this is where there's no place near this place like this place that you can be on a Sabbath morning. This is a place to be, amen? Yeah, and it's joy. It's joy to be in the house of God. You know, today I want to speak on this subject. You must be born again. You must be born again. Anybody here planning to make it to heaven? If you are, let me see your hands. Give a witness. All right, I see many hands. All right, that means this applies to you then. I'm in the right place saying it. You must be born again. Those were the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said them in one of the greatest interviews ever in humanity's 6,000-year history. It was an interview Nicodemus had with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus Christus, Jesus Christ. And if there is one person who deserves to be heard, it is our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? Amen. 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 He is worthy of every bit of your time. He is the only person in the entire world, the entire universe, who died for you, and he did this personally. And Jesus Christ rose again for you. Amen? Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came, by the way, a ruler of the Jews means he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews. And his name was Nicodemus. This man came to Jesus by night. Why do you think he came to Jesus by night? Why do people tend to do some things by night and they don't do it by day? They don't want to be seen. You want to go under the cover of dark. And so this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, pastor, teacher, elder, master, professor. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And I think that was a very fair evaluation. Jesus was doing quite a few things. The people had lost their loved ones to death. And Jesus went on over and said to that person, hey, come out of that tomb. And that person came out of that tomb. There were some people who were born crippled from the day they were born. And Jesus walked over to them and said, hey, legs, be made whole. And people were healed instantly. Others were sick of stage 4 cancer, the equivalent today. Back then it was leprosy. And Jesus went over and said, disease, be gone. And stage 4 cancer left those bodies. This is the Jesus. And so Nicodemus was convinced, along with others. He says, Rabbi, we know. And that we, by the way, is hinged on, if you back up 2 verses in chapter 2, you will see where many people believed on Christ because of the signs. So Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, and this is one of the most disconnected conversations I find in Scripture. Here's a man, you know, recognizing you for how great you are and what you do. And Jesus totally switched the conversation. He didn't say, oh, well, thank you so much, Mr. Nicodemus. No, Jesus switched that. Man, I tell you, it's a disconnected story. But I tell you, it's one of the greatest connections we can have with God. Amen? Jesus answered and said to him, Nicodemus, most certainly, I'm saying this to you, most certainly, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, when we go to Jesus with our petitions, Jesus knows what we have need of. Amen? He reads our innermost thoughts. He reads our minds. He knows what is going on. And so he knew exactly why Nicodemus came. And so Nicodemus was dancing around the bush, wanting to load and to heap flatteries upon Jesus. And Jesus is saying, let's get to the point, Nicodemus. Don't beat around the bush. Let's be direct about this. And so Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, the Greek word used there can also mean unless one is born from above. Unless one is born again, he cannot see, she cannot see the kingdom of God. Hence my sermon title today, you must be born again. Jesus says so. If you're going to go to heaven, you must be born again. So Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And nearly 2,000 years later, we are still talking about this interview. By the way, the most known text in the Bible was a part of this interview. What's that text again? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a few verses down in John 3:16. It's the same interview. He said those words to Nicodemus. And so 2,000 years later, we're having this conversation based on this important interview. The wind that blows, a question for you, does it control itself or does some natural laws control the wind? Does the wind control itself? What's your answer to that? No. So is there some natural law then that controls the wind? Yes. All right, that's a good exploratory question. God is the one who generally controls the wind and the other elements of nature. Is that right? God does. As a matter of fact, when I was recently signing up a contract for a car, one of the things says, in case there's an act of God. You know, and God gets all the credit for all the bad things happen. When disasters come, it's an act of God. Why don't they put an act of the devil? Yeah. God is not in the business of just wanting to destroy people. I mean, sometimes he has to punish. But the devil is the one who delights in natural disasters. I'm going to tell you something from the Seventh-day Adventist prophet. So you can take this one. Watch this. Satan works through the elements also. When it's the elements of nature. You know, tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones, floods, fires, earthquakes. Satan works through the elements to gather his harvest of unprepared souls. Satan loves misery. He likes to just destroy people who are not ready to meet Christ. They are unprepared. And so he works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature. And he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. The Great Controversy, page 589. And some of you who are new to the Adventist Church, you might say, where are these Seventh-day Adventists getting these strange ideas from? Satan can act upon nature? Well, I want to read another paragraph for you. When he, that is Satan, was suffered to afflict Job. You can read Job chapters 1 and 2. And you'll see it there. When he was suffered, when Satan was allowed to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another, as in a moment. You can read those two chapters in Job. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. Amen? Otherwise, Satan would like to collapse this roof on all of us right now and kill us all inside. But it is God who shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. Great Controversy, page 598. It is either God or Satan who is controlling any given gust of wind or other elements in nature. So also with human experiences, especially religious ones, every decision we make is inspired by God or is suggested by the devil. And then comes our choice. We get to choose which way we go. Now, the decision to be born again is definitely inspired by God. Amen? God moves. We respond. The born again experience is the greatest of all human experiences. It marks a new beginning. An inward cleansing takes place, which manifests itself in outward changed behaviors. Water baptism in particular, or is the particular sign that we belong to Christ. When we baptize, we give public evidence that we belong to Jesus Christ. What do you say? Amen. Amen. In order to be saved, one must be born of the water and the Spirit, as Jesus says in John 3, verses 5 and 7. You know, when your mother's water, when her amniotic sac broke, you had no choice in being born into this world. Did you know that? Doesn't matter how beautiful or handsome you look here today, none of you had a choice in being born into this world. You just came. You just came. But to be born again for the world above is purely your choice. God made full provision to save everyone. Did you know that? And that includes you. God made full provision to save everyone, but you must decide to cooperate with God. And once you do, you'll find that God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen? Once you cooperate with him, he'll give you the strength and the power and the grace to live for him. And here are my three little girls. They're getting bigger than that now. Amen? And I think the first Sabbath in May, they'll be getting baptized. They're saying yes to Jesus as well. Amen? Yes, and they are making their decision for Christ. So whether you are red, brown, yellow, black, or white, you are precious in God's sight. Amen? When God said he would destroy all lives on earth with the flood, the people back then did not believe Mr. Noah. Even some church members back then had scant regard for Noah's message too. Back then, it had never rained before. We can't even imagine that today. But back then it had never rained before. And like the so-called illuminated minds of today, they questioned whether there could be any flood. They questioned God's word through Noah. They reasoned away its significance. But Noah believed God. Amen? And he preached even as he built the ark. And we have a life-size model out in Kentucky area there, in of what Noah's ark might have looked like back then. And so today you can go there for tours and all that stuff. You know, God destroyed the antediluvian world with the flood that Noah preached about. Though many skeptics, you know, scoffers and naysayers exist today who cast doubt about God's great flood, the Bible says so and the evidence abounds. It was a time of judgment. And by the way, anybody know where this is? Niagara Falls, you got it. Yep, that's a rainbow bridge right there that connects the United States and Canada at Niagara Falls. That's the bridge there. And it's interesting to me because I found that little thing written on those walls. And here's a more close-up shot. That's what is written on it. Can you read? Yeah? And God said, I like that. I like to see God in the public space too. And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and the ever-living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant with you. And it goes on and on. That's in the public space in Canada. I like that. Amen? And the Bible passages inscribed on that memorial there are written there for you. God does not forget. And lest we forget, some upward thinking mind designed, who was a part of designing the Rainbow Bridge, which connects the United States and Canada at Niagara Falls, on that, you know, they inscribe this recording in honor of God's rainbow in the sky. So when they built it, they made sure there's a memorial there to recognize God. God cut the rainbow covenant with all humanity. That covenant gives evidence that God has jurisdiction over all human beings, whether they believe or not. Over all human beings. A person's persuasion does not change God's sovereignty at all. God is ruler of all, whether we believe it or not. You know, many derided Noah as a wild fanatic, claiming to have scientific evidence of the impossibility of a flood. As in the spirit of a wild carnival, they jeered Noah. But those scoffers mocked, God's judgment day came, and it is coming again. This earth will become one big lake of fire someday soon. But the question is, do you have an escape plan to get out of this soon-to-be-destroyed world? Do you have an escape plan? Christ is about to come back from heaven. And the question again is, are you one of his ready group of people? Are you a part of his group of people that is ready to meet him? The end is near. The end is coming. And no more will the earth be covered by a flood of waters. It will become one boiling, seething lake of fire. As surely as you were born, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And to gain heaven, Jesus Christ taught that you must be born again. That's what he says in Revelation chapter 4, 14, verse 6 through to 7. This is at the heart of what the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes and teaches clear on the world. John writes, he says, then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the spring of water. The great Mabul, the flood, is brought back to view here in these verses. The great flood, Noah's flood, time of judgment, the springs of water. Time of judgment. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of his name. It is omens of the end. And this message is to tell people, this world as we know it is coming to its end, and it's happening fast. I believe in your lifetime and in my lifetime, this will happen. Time is running out. And I'm glad that Megan is giving evidence today of her escape plan. She plans to get out of this world with Jesus. Amen? And I sure hope everyone else here is thinking the same way. Trump won't take us out of this world. Neither does Beto O'Rourke or Joe Biden or Obama or any one of them. Only Jesus can get us out of this situation. Amen? And so I'm saying to God's children here today, let's make our calling and election sure. Let's go to Jesus and surrender all to him so he can transform our lives and make us into the disciples he wants us to be. Amen? You know, though like all other human beings, you have sinned and you fall short of the image of God, I want to tell you today that God loves you. Amen? And he demonstrated that on the cross of Calvary. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we begin to wind down to a close, Paul says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So comes. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." I'm talking about it. Do you have an escape plan? It says, "They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day," children of God. In other words, we are not of the night nor of darkness. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." At least back then, that's how it was. Today, people are drunk at any time. "But let us who are of the day be sober." Be sober. And this is not just being sober, not consuming alcohol. It's not just that being sober. This sober is more. It's that and more. It's not consuming the alcohol. It's being alcohol free, but it's more. This being sober means to be ready in Jesus Christ. He says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." The breastplate of faith and love. "And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." When the world will least expect it, Christ will come. To the unprepared and the ungodly, Christ's coming will be like a thief in the night who breaks in unannounced. But God's righteous people see ahead. They have the gift of discernment. They know the signs of the times. They know the way marks. They know the signposts and the way to heaven. In Daniel chapter 12, where it is described there, the time of trouble that is coming on the world. The wicked does not understand it, but God's righteous children do. Amen? When you hear the truth, what should be your response? You should pray and obey. Amen? On the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 people were baptized into the fledgling Christian church. They heard the word of God and they obeyed the call. You must be born again. You know, before, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then what did he say? "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's what God says. That's what Jesus himself says. And he says we should be teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What a promise this is from Jesus. He promises to be with us clear till the end of the age. The disciples willingly followed Christ. They went preaching the word in the power of the Holy Spirit. People were having the born again experience. And the question is, how about you here today? Is God working this work of being born again in you? Have you ever had the born again experience? Is there someone here today who will accept Christ's invitation to be born again? Is there someone here who will make up his or her mind to shine in the dark world for Jesus? Do you see your need for salvation today? Do you see your need to be born again? Who here is willing to be an active part in God's last church? That is a church which goes all the way, keeping God's Ten Commandments and having the faith of Jesus. Christ says in Luke 15 verse 7, I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just or righteous persons who need no repentance. Baptism is the outward sign of your inner repentance. Baptism is the only means by which a person can join God's church on earth, which is the gateway to heaven. God's church on earth is God's ark of safety and is a part of God's family in heaven. What is your answer to Jesus today? As we close, in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching the sermon and he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this Jesus, he has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, both ruler and Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. How about you today? Are you going to obey God's call and be born again? Mark says, Mark records Jesus as saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What is your answer to Christ today? What is your answer to him? In those days, those who were being saved were added to the church daily. Baptism, the entry point to God's church. And I ask you the question today, have you officially entered God's church through baptism? Is it well with your soul today? When Jesus Christ returns to pick up all of God's children from off the face of the earth, will you be one of those ready ones that will go home to live with God? Remember, God's church on earth is heaven's gate. Jesus gave his all for you. He made that sacrifice. He died on the cross. And so, today, what is your answer to Jesus? Is there someone else today that is saying, you know, Lord, Megan is a step ahead of me because she's getting baptized today. But I would like at some point to be able to make this decision as well. You know, in your bulletins, any of you have a bulletin there? Let me see a bulletin if you have them. Who has bulletins? Yeah, you all seem to have bulletins. Yeah, I think we printed enough for everyone. Well, on the back of the bulletin, you can see something that says, for the pastor. And many of you did not know, several months ago, I made a similar call like this. And it was on the back of one of these bulletins that Megan put her signature and what her request was. And we had a follow-up. And today is her day. Today is her big day. She's getting baptized today. And she indicated right here, just like the one you have in your hands, she indicated on the back of this bulletin what she desires. And in a follow-up visit, we were able to establish something for her. Why don't you go ahead today and sign on the back of your bulletin what it is that you desire. And you can see there, for the pastor, the person whose name appears below needs a visit, needs Bible studies or other pastoral assistance. Why don't you go ahead and sign up what you desire here today? And I'll be diligent to follow up with you. Leave your name and address, your phone number and email address there. And I'll be diligent to follow up with you how I can help you on the road to salvation. Jesus is for real. And he loves each of us here with an everlasting love. So I invite you today to indicate what your desire is. And I'll be willing with the rest of the team to help you in this path to salvation. At this time, I'm going to close out this part of the service. And we're going to open up the baptistry right there. And we're going to transition to our time of baptism. In the meantime, Sharon will lead us in music and we'll sing some songs while we get ready and carry out the sacred, precious, powerful rite of baptism.